It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. On some Wisconsin roads, your car may be photographed by AI-powered law enforcement cameras. Flock cameras can not only read license plates, but also register car color, make and model, and stickers and damage.
That information is uploaded to a database that can be accessed by police departments and federal agencies nationwide.
This year, at least 221 Wisconsin law enforcement agencies used flock cameras. That's according to an investigation by the Wisconsin Examiner.
But some communities are concerned about the camera's potential for misuse by individuals or simply for their use as a powerful government surveillance tool.
Last month, the Verona Common Council voted not to renew their contract after receiving a flood of public comments opposing them. Here is Mara Helmke, alderperson for Verona's 2nd District and Common Council president.
We don't have any markings around our community that say that you are going to be tracked, that you are going to be on camera, right? And so effectively, there's no way in and out of the city pretty much without being tracked via these cameras. There was no consent around that.
The Beaver Dam Police Department has been using flock cameras for about 5 years now. They have 12 cameras around the city. Daniel Coons is a detective at the Beaver Dam Police Department. He joins us now for a look at how his department uses the system. Detective Coons, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Can you give us the basics, the nuts and bolts of how your department interacts with these flock cameras in your community?
Well, I would say that flock has become sort of an integral part of our tool belt, if you want to call it that. As of about 2020 or 2021, it really developed into a useful tool for us. At first, it was sort of in the preliminary stages. It was kind of unknown as to how it would affect sort of our daily functioning of our police department, but it's proven itself over the past 4 or 5 years to be really an effective tool for us. And obviously, a lot of departments across the region and in the entire country have continued to use them and implement them as part of their regular operating procedures.
Now that you've had some years to get this under your belt, how might this work? How might you use flock cameras as part of an investigation?
Flock is used in a few different ways, at least at our police department. I can't speak on behalf of how other departments
Sure.
use them. Some might use them in a more restrictive way. We use them really in both a proactive and a reactive way. What I mean by that is there's times where we may be looking for someone related to a crime. Say there is a incident that occurs outside of our city, and we get alerted that this vehicle with a license plate is involved in some sort of theft ring or something of that sort. We can then go into our system, enter that plate or vehicle into the flock system and into what's called a hot list. And if that vehicle were to come into Beaver Dam, it's in past one of our flock cameras, we would get alerted to that before that vehicle can continue to come into Beaver Dam and commit a crime against businesses or residents here. So it allows us to proactively respond to crimes before they occur. Those also can include cases where it runs past a camera and a vehicle is entered into NCIC, sort of associated either with a missing person or a different, criminal group, or the vehicle stolen. That allows us to go detect or try to find that vehicle before they either steal a vehicle in town here, and allows us to check the welfare if it's associated with a missing persons file. We've had that several times where we were able to stop a vehicle, check the welfare of a potential occupant who has been listed at NCIC as missing or a check welfare. And it really allows law enforcement a proactive approach to finding vehicles that might be involved in things that otherwise we would have no idea. On a reactive side, it allows us to enter plates that are, from an investigation size, it allows us to enter plates that have been involved in crimes already in Beaver Dam, and allows us to find vehicles that we are looking for rather than having squads driving around just looking, arbitrarily for cars. It's essentially eyes out there on the street for us looking for particular vehicles that we are looking for that are associated with a current criminal investigation.
As you mentioned, departments have different policies in different communities, different states around the country. One of them has to do with, you know, when that use of FLOC is initiated, what kind of justification, what kind of coding and language goes into that. On a practical level, if you as a detective are saying, hey, I think these plates are involved in a crime, I want to have FLOC notify us, what do you do? What kind of information goes into that?
Well, again, I can speak for our department. And again, every department operates a little bit different in what their policies and procedures are. We have fairly strict policies in terms of what we require officers to do when they are looking for a vehicle in FLOC. So you can't just randomly go into the system. I shouldn't say you can't. You can, but there are checks and balances to that system that requires officers or detectives to enter a two things. It's a two-part search. It's a reason for the search and associated complaint number. There's not always going to be a police report number associated with the search because there may not be an open investigation or an open case. Say you have a tip from another agency that they're a vehicle that they're looking for, and we just simply want to see if that vehicle has come into the city of Beaver Dam. We are able to search that, and we would use the reason being is a vehicle associated with investigation out of city ABC. And then you would write Wisconsin, the source of that information, to say a Wisconsin crime alert that we were made aware of. So there's really two ways that we can on the back end then double check that that search was legitimately associated with that particular investigation. So there's ways that FLOC requires it now for you to enter a reason to make the search. So it's part of it is on FLOC's end that requires that. But on the back end for us, when we go in and do sort of a random audit of various searches, which me and other sergeants and administrators do, we're able to then associate that particular search or that plate of a vehicle with that reason that they entered so that it's validated as being a legitimate search.
Now, there have been a couple concerns raised about FLOC. I'm guessing they've been brought to you or you've heard them. One, privacy. If we've got these cameras out there, well, they're cameras all the time, even if you're not making a request of them. What do you say to people who say, hey, I don't feel comfortable with these, it affects surveillance cameras being out there all day, every day?
I don't blame them for having that question. I think more transparency can counteract that concern, and that transparency can come from law enforcement agencies. And I can, again, speaking only on behalf of my department and conversing about this topic with the chief all the way since the implementation of the cameras, we have never shied away from public inquiries about FLOC cameras. We've done presentations in front of our city council. We've offered to go on and talk with anybody that wants to do interviews, hence why I'm speaking with you now. So I think the comfort of those cameras come from explaining to people how they work, what they do, and how we utilize them is super important, particularly in an era where people become concerned about surveillance. I will say this. LPRs, license plate reader cameras, have been around for a couple of decades. So the idea of cameras being out there tracking license plates is not necessarily a very new one. The technology behind FLOC is somewhat new in that it allows departments to interconnect with each other and share information. But it's no different essentially than having 11 officers, at least at our agency, having 11 officers on these street corners running license plates. We obviously don't have the resource to do that, nor would we. But this allows us to capture those license plates, which are in public, and there's no expectation of privacy out in public when you're driving around your vehicle. Your license plate by law is required to be legible and visible to law enforcement or anybody.
Detective Coons, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
I appreciate your time.
That's Daniel Coons, detective at the Beaver Dam Police Department. He joined us for a look at how AI-powered cameras are used to enforce the law in that community. For a look at the privacy and civil rights concerns surrounding FLOC cameras in Wisconsin, we're joined by John McCrae Jones, policy analyst at the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
When it comes to the use of these FLOC cameras here in Wisconsin, what are your greatest concerns?
So FLOC is a particular company that operates automatic license plate readers, commonly called ALPRs. But that also misses the point. Automated license plate readers don't just read your license plate. Imagine facial recognition, but for your car. So basically, when you drive past an automated license plate reader or a flock camera, it records the make, model, color, dent, bumper stickers, and even visible occupants inside the car. And then it creates basically a digital fingerprint of your car and your day-to-day life every time you drive down the street. And once that data is collected, it isn't just stored locally. It enters a national searchable database used by thousands of law enforcement agencies and private institutions like homeowner associations and private businesses. So this matters because it transforms everyday vehicles into a searchable tag on your movements.
Now, we hear from police departments, for example, who sign contracts with Flock. They say, well, hey, our contract specifies we can negotiate whether or not they share this data, how long they store it, that kind of thing. Do you have any confidence that, hey, we could structure police, for example, contracts with Flock in a way that it's not being shared, that we don't have to worry about our privacy?
I don't, just because there's a lack of transparency around that. And the reality of the situation is how Flock's data sharing works is that you can share with different departments. But the problem is once that data gets out of local control, we don't know where it goes. And the reality is that law enforcement departments can share their data across borders. And there's actually been a recent report by Wired magazine that some private data of American citizens is collected by their Philippine employees outside of our borders. So once that data gets out, we don't know where it goes. And I think the best way to stop this data from getting out is just not collecting it in the first place.
Police departments and, of course, Flock itself have said, hey, this is useful. We're able to, you know, spot vehicles, for example, that have triggered amber alerts, or we're able to prosecute car thefts or theft rings by the use of these cameras. Is it a worthwhile trade-off, those concerns about privacy and cybersecurity versus, hey, we're maybe solving crimes?
I disagree. One, because long-term studies of ALPR installations show inconsistent effects on crime rate. And until we have clear independent data that license plate readers are actually preventing crime, I don't believe that the trade-off for privacy is worth it, especially because law enforcement and Flock refuses to use independent studies to verify their claim that there is a drastic impact on crime. And the other thing that I want to note is that here in Wisconsin, violent crime wasn't a top 10 search for any of the 221 law enforcement departments that use Flock cameras. We did see thousands of law enforcement departments use single word justifications like investigation or suspect or person to justify what they were searching. And I think that lack of transparency of not knowing why law enforcement agents are searching people's movements and where their cars are located is ripe in potential for abuse. Even though I admit, I don't believe that most law enforcement agents are misusing surveillance technology. But if you have thousands and tens of thousands of searches going on, you only need 1%. And that has major problems.
If departments are using these things, what would you like to see for how they justify the use of these, how they track them, how the kind of transparency they can provide?
Perfect. One, require detailed public reporting on all Flock searches, including precise reasons, outcomes, not one word categories. I would like to have a log that shows what officer searched, when it was searched, in the justification, 3, 4, 5 sentences explaining why. Limit data retention to very short windows unless it's tied to active investigation. Ban sharing with federal agencies like ICE or enforcement of laws criminalizing reproduction or gender-affirming care. There was a situation in Texas where I believe the number was 83,000 searches, where a law enforcement agency in Texas searched states' databases like Illinois and Washington during an investigation about a woman who allegedly had a self-managed abortion. So stopping data sharing with law enforcement agencies outside of the state of Wisconsin, prohibit agencies from granting access to private cameras without transparent public consent and oversight, mandate judicial review or warrants before using this data in prosecution, and include sunset clauses forced to renewal and reauthorization by legislators.
Are you hoping that state lawmakers will address the flock issue and either say, you know, no or yes, but, and have some kind of transparency and use requirements?
100%. So working for the ACLU, my answer for surveillance is no. But I understand that the ACLU doesn't speak for Wisconsin voters and Wisconsin citizens. What I would love to see is community control over police ordinances passed at local levels and hopefully at the state level. And what that does is it adds a framework that allows oversight, transparency, and a democratic process into what surveillance technologies are used on citizens. And to answer your previous question, it allows community leaders, private citizens, and elected officials to have the conversation and come to a decision on what privacy is willing to be exchanged under the guise of safety. Because what CCUPS does is every single surveillance technology used or will be used in the future requires a legislative hearing where law enforcement, community leaders, and other stakeholders can come in and make the case for or against this technology. It forces elected officials to hold a vote on what surveillance technologies will be deployed on their communities. And then it's followed up with a yearly annual report that answers questions on, did this technology impact safety? Who has access to the data that is collected? Where is the data going? How long is the data being stored? Are these technologies being disproportionately targeted at people of color, migrant communities, queer people, different religious groups? And you have that annually in a report, so then we can come back the next year for another legislative hearing or in 2 years and say, hey, this technology did make communities safer. We are willing to keep investing taxpayer money into this. Or no, this technology doesn't have the payoff that was sold to us by these private companies. And we shouldn't invest our taxpayer money into this. And maybe we should invest it in other places like education.
Just last month, the city of Verona elected not to renew their contract with Flock after hearing similar privacy concerns to some you've raised. Are you seeing communities that might have been moving toward Flock keeping it at arm's length? Do you see a trend here at all?
Yeah, 100%. Across the country, we're seeing cities walk back their Flock camera because I think that they were sold in an illusion of safety. And like I mentioned before, violent crime wasn't a top 10 reason for a Flock search out of any of the 221 Wisconsin law enforcement agencies, departments that are using Flock cameras. So if we're not fighting violent crime with these technologies, then what are we doing with it?
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was John McCrae Jones, policy analyst at the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin. Earlier, we heard from Daniel Coons, detective at the Beaver Dam Police Department, been talking about police departments using Flock cameras in communities around the state, and we want to hear from you. Has this been a concern? Have you seen these cameras in your community? Do they make you feel safer? Are you glad police have these as tools to use to prevent or solve crimes? Or do you have concerns, privacy and other concerns about them? Have you testified at your local city council meeting on the topic? Let us know about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Again, that email is wisconsintoday@wpr.org.